What's up, everybody? It's Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned into Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for listening in again. We appreciate it, as always. I'm going to get the long social media rant out of the way first, like I usually do. So, follow me on Twitter, at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/kindaneat. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/thatskindaneat, and you can find everything wrapped up in a pretty package on kindaneat.net. Please remember to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, tell us how awesome we are or how much we suck, but just leave that 5-star rating, and if you tell us how awesome we are, perhaps I will give you a high five when I see you in person. As you guys know, I'm always reaching out, asking if you guys have any questions or are in need of any advice. And then I pick out ones that maybe I have thoughts on and try to touch on them. And so this week, I have a question from a gentleman that says, how does an artist stay relevant in the underground market? This is a very tough question because who the fuck knows if I'm relevant or not, or, you know, if I have any expertise in the subject. But I would say first and foremost, if you're thinking about relevancy or you're worried about your relevancy, then you're already on your path to not being relevant. I think the way to remain the most relevant is to kind of not give a fuck and just do you. You know, my guest this week, Kale, and myself, we've been rapping for a long time and we've known each other for a long time. We've known each other probably 10 years at this point. And my style of rap has like been in style, then gone out of style, and then come back in style or whatever. And to be honest, I just don't really think about it because I don't make the music that I make because I'm trying to be relevant or fashionable. I make it because it's just what I know how to make. It's the music that comes out of me and Mark's brain, and we just do it, you know? If you think about your relevancy and you try to keep up with the times, I think you're already a step behind because you look reactionary. If you're ever like, oh, you know, this pitch shifts thing, there's really something to this. You know, everybody's pitching their voice down nowadays. Perhaps I should pitch my voice down because it's very relevant. Like, you already are fucking losing because you're doing it because someone else did it and it's not you. You know, there are a lot of ways to reinvent yourself as an artist. Some people put on masks. Some people stop taking pictures of themselves. Or like I said, they pitch down their voice. They do whatever. And, you know, sometimes that ends up working better than them their previous musical endeavors have, and that's perfectly fine. But I've always looked at shit like trying to start over as kind of a waste, you know? Like, I feel like when rappers, they have a rap name for a long time, and then maybe they'll make a last ditch effort to kind of like start using their real name because real names were really hot for a minute, you know? Like, oh yeah, this is my real name, and so everybody else is doing it, so I should rap as my real name. Like, to me, that already looks reactionary. And also, like I said, that looks like a last-ditch effort. Like, people can tell that you're out of ideas. You know what I mean? My point is that you just can't give a fuck. And if I'm irrelevant, I don't give a shit. I just do it because it's fun and I like it. And sometimes I make a couple bucks off of it, but definitely not enough to pay rent. But it is what it is. You know what I mean? If that makes me irrelevant, oh, fucking well. I mean, on another note, a way to stay relevant, I don't know. I push out content every week with this podcast and I have fun doing it. I like to let people know that I am staying busy and that I'm out here, you know, doing shit. And, you know, to me, that's relevant. I think like what we're doing here is relevant, I guess, but it's not why we do it. We just do it because it's fun. And I do it because I want you guys to hear about my friends. Hopefully that answered your question. I probably just danced around it. The basic idea of it is like, who cares about relevancy? Everything comes back in cycles. I mean, you know, look at a rapper like Joey Badass. He's making like raucous era music, and that shit was very out of fashion for a while, and he fucking brought it back. Like, backpack rap is cool again, you know? He's one of them bringing it back. So even if you feel like you're getting irrelevant, just know that your music will be back in style again eventually if you stick to it long enough. So stick to your guns. Don't be reactionary. And don't worry about your relevancy. And on that note, we're going to get into the podcast with my friend Kale. I've known Kale, like I said, since like 03. He's one of the first LA rap dudes that I ever met back when No Can first reached out to Equilibrium for beats. Like, all these guys ended up at my house when I used to live in Santa Barbara. And we've kept in contact ever since then. Yeah, at one point, Kale actually was like kind of pseudo training me because he was a trainer at the gym I was working on. He's a big swole motherfucker, and so you know, I've learned a lot from this guy about rap shit and about physicality, for fuck's sake. So I don't know. It was cool. Like, this is the first time we've done a podcast together. I never got to have him in on Knock City, so I'm stoked to sit him down on Kinda Neat and have a nice conversation. So without further ado, this is my man, Kale. My dude, Billy, one of the first people that I met in the LA rap scene. Put the Kindle Fire away now.
I'm turning it off.
What is that actually? A Samsung what?
Note 2.
Samsung Note 2.
Yeah, like the next Note has like a watch that comes with it.
Is that one of the ones that comes with a pen?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want a pen?
A stylus.
Why do you want a stylus pen? What for?
To try to teach myself to draw pictures, I guess.
I don't know, man. I saw that those phones come with a stylus pen, and I'm like, what the fuck? That's some like straight late 90s shit, I feel like.
Low-key it is, but I guess I like it.
Yeah.
I have it.
Do you use the stylus pen for anything?
Like once a month. I'll make a doodle.
You'll just doodle.
I'll doodle some shit.
It's handwriting is going to go.
I put a picture of a little stick figure dude that I drew, but it looked like bullshit though, but I did it.
For what? You just drew a doodle.
For art purposes. I was just like, here's a stick man.
That's because
like stick man is like one of the most like elementary fucking things you learn how to draw.
Yeah.
And I was just like, let's see what happens when I draw a stick man. Yeah. And it was totally fucked up. And I was just like, I don't care about drawing.
It's not my cup of tea.
I was like, this is what not giving a fuck about drawing.
Well, the funny
like.
Thing about technology coming with stylus pens is like, I've said this before, but like your daughter's generation is probably the last generation that will learn to handwrite. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think our kids will be the last generation that learns how to write with a pen.
Probably so.
You know
what
I mean?
That's some weird shit, though.
Yeah, because at this point, everybody's getting iPads and iPhones and shit when they're in school, like when they're in elementary school.
Right. That and like, it's probably seldom that like these kids even fucking talk to each other on the phone like that anymore. It's probably just, I Facebook this motherfucker. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
So, and then that's the end of it. Like, why would you call after that? Like,
right, right.
You got the inbox.
And the funny thing is now, like a phone call is some romantic shit.
It's like, you know, the phone call now is like the letter was like.
Yeah, that's
like when we were kids and then like. Probably like what a fucking pigeon with a
yeah. That's that new game chocolate. Though. It's like oh yeah, we'll text a bit and it's like hey, you mind if I call you on some high school shit? And they're like to have a conversation, and I'm like
that's like taking the rubber off. It's like oh you want to call me
very
like,
intimate. Like, it's the phone equivalent.
You want to hear my voice while we do this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like you want to turn the lights on,
right?
Like, for real?
That's like, funny.
That shit's dumb.
Like I was saying, you're like one of the first dudes that I met in the LA rap scene back in like 2003, probably, when James came up to do like an EP at my house. You were one of the kids. You were one of the dudes that like came along to kick it. You remember that?
I don't totally remember that. Wait, where were you staying?
Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay, yeah. I do remember that.
We had like a whole house compound, and there was like
that was popping.
Yeah, Mike in the living room and Mark was making beats in the living room all the time, and you guys came up and we had a big fucking barbecue because SP and Rob stole a bunch of food.
Wow. Yeah, that's exactly what would have happened.
Those were the
days.
Yeah, the customer service days.
That was crazy. That was fun.
Yeah. So where are you from? Because I've known you now for 10 years, but uh-huh. I don't know. You're a mysterious man, and you outwardly protrude your character a lot more than yourself. So tell me, let's dive
right?
in. Let's dive into the real William Red Thedford.
Well, I was born in Van Nuys.
Oh, so you were born in California?
Yeah, but moved all around California, like you know, kind of like in Pacoima, Sylmar. For a little while, then spent some time like in a house that my grandfather used to have on King and Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
But like you know, you can't be on like this is like King and Avalon 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not like the best place for like young kids to be coming up. Really, like you know, like it was that shit was weird.
Do you have generations in California?
Yeah, my it's on my father's side. Like I don't know, like. At least to my great grandfather, probably, you know, maybe even a little further back than that.
Was there like a common hustle or career that, that all the paternal guys have shared?
No.
No?
Nothing like that except, you know, just being like fly as a motherfucker. That's like, that's.
Take your sunglasses off, motherfucker. Take your shades off so we can make a better rapport. Come on.
Okay.
You're the I told him, hey, we don't film the podcast. You don't got to wear your shades. He's like, I'm going to wear them anyways.
Yeah.
Take them off.
I've been getting high all day.
That's okay. I won't judge you. What did your dad do? He's like a musician or something, right?
Yeah. You know, he did like a lot of gospel stuff back in the day and shit like that. Now he's, you know, he's been doing a lot more with jazz, but he's done like a lot of everything though.
Yeah.
A lot of everything. Just like he plays everything. He's, you know, he sings, I guess more than anything else, but he, you know, he's heavy into like every angle of that shit.
And he was already doing that when you were born?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And way before.
How did your folks meet?
I've heard this story a couple of times and I don't totally remember how they met, but I just know that they, you know, they had known each other for a while and then like, you know, things moved along, you know, kind of, you know, kind of quickly. Oh, you know, in good time, but kind of quickly and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, he just, you know, that was, you know, that was their thing for real for, you know, for a while, for a minute.
Right. You got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have six sisters.
Half sisters or full sisters? How's that?
Some half, yeah. Some full. Yeah.
How many with both of your folks?
Three.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, no. I have two sisters with both.
So they were together for a while then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they ever get married?
Yeah, they were married. They were married for like, you know, the whole, at least before I was born.
How long before they split up after you were born?
I was like 16.
Oh, so it was later.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. So you live both.
I was in Kansas City. It was 16.
Okay. Yeah. So what? How long did you stay in California as a kid before you moved out to Kansas City?
I was there until like 92. When
in California?
Yeah. When Rodney King got beat, we were like right up the street.
Yeah.
From that, and like we left like just like about a month after that shit happened.
So you guys dipped before the riots took place?
Yeah, like, yeah, I didn't, you know, didn't smart. Even really know that shit was about to crack off like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're in Kansas City again. And so I was in Kansas City from about the time I was 8 until, you know, I graduated high school when I was 18.
Okay. So looking back now, everybody always goes, oh, you know, when you ask them what it was like living in wherever they were, they're like, oh, it was normal because that's all I knew. But as an adult now, looking back at your youth in Los Angeles, what was those first formative years like? Do you remember, like,
you
the
said
block?
My youth in Los Angeles?
Yeah, like the early when you were born to when you moved to Kansas City, like, do you remember what the youth was like?
I don't know. I guess it didn't totally seem too much different. It was just, I guess, like more of a like a fixation with the gang thing back then, just because, you know, like I said, you know, this was late 80s,
yeah,
early 90s.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, you know, just before we were leaving, you know, we were on King and Avalon, and then it was everything everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so that's the thing, is like being not from California at that point, it was like what we were seeing about it was Your boys in the hood, your Menace Society.
Yeah, you know what it was.
Was it like that?
Yeah, you know what it was. It was like that, but a little deeper than like even you see in movies sometimes. Like, because like you have to understand like the reason why a lot of that shit exists is because like just a lot of it exists in general. So like just like people like doing regular shit, like the old like, you know, the old, like, you know, Mexican man that runs this little market, and then like this, you know, middle-aged black lady and her kids and shit like that might get into it, and it's like they're banging on each other. That shit's cracking. Like these motherfuckers are at each other. Like this shit is about to pop. And it's like now, like the situation would never like transpire with that much intensity. Like, you know, like it would never escalate to that type of level at all. Like, you know, like people, like that's ridiculous now.
Right. But like,
you know,
back
but then it was just like fuck you, no, fuck you, then what, then, like, yeah, what is it, like jump out the car then, like, and this is like two, like, you know, seemingly regular fucking adults who just like work and pay bills and shit. You know,
things
like,
were like really boiling at that time down here.
Yeah, like, you know, just with, you know, with the environment, you know, not just, you know, people in general, but just, you know, the way everything was.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So that shit was just crazy. Like, you know, it was shit popping all the time. Like, you know, your radio gets stolen out of your truck. Okay, like that shit, that's where we live. Like, you know, shit like that. Like,
right,
regular shit. Oh, you can't go to sleep because, you know, the helicopters were in the front yard all morning looking for whoever the fuck is jumping through yards. Like,
right.
Oh, well, that's where the fuck you live. So,
and like, in hindsight, stuff that you might not have realized as a kid, but in hindsight now probably do. Like, did you have aunts and uncles out here? Were they, was the gang culture around with aunts and uncles or anything like that? Like,
there's a few people in my family, you know.
Yeah, like, no dry snitching, like, obviously.
Yeah, you know, you know, but they, you know, and, you know, close family too, who've, you know, done, you know, some of that stuff. And then, you know, from different, you know, different neighborhoods and nations and shit like that. But, I guess, like, nothing too crazy as far as, like, anything that's actually happened, really, and, like, you know, as far as just, you know, real tragedies as far as, like, the family goes with shit like that. You know, people have gotten a lot of shit, you know, stolen or, you know, whatever the hell happened in the riots and shit like that. But, you know, nothing, like, nothing too crazy like that as far as, you know, the family.
Right.
It was going, when I was coming up.
Right. And when you guys moved to Kansas City after the riots, or like right after Rodney King and shit was really, really starting to boil over. For one, do you think your parents, like, not only wanted to get out for safety, but also just kind of like to get a kind of a different area to raise you? Because, I mean, I feel like Los Angeles wasn't safe to raise people there.
Yeah. That was, you know, that was a big, you know, big thing about it. And it was just like, you know, most of the places you end up, you know, throughout, you know, wherever in Los Angeles County, it was, you know, kind of expensive. And it was like, you know, it's a, you know, it's an expensive, you know, expensive ass whooping to take in life. You
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah.
You know, so yeah, coming back to Kansas City where, you know, my mother's side of the family, you know, a lot of them are, you know, from Missouri in general. And so, you know, just getting back out there and then just kind of like, yeah, like you said, you know, taking a more, you know, hopefully a more, you know, progressive step somewhere like that.
What's Kansas City like?
Kansas City's, Kansas City's kind of like kind of fucked up too. At least like now, like the shit that was like, that existed in LA is in Kansas City now.
Mm.
Now, when I was coming up, I guess, like, at least to us, like, it never did really seem too bad. Now, like, when I talk to people about, like, when we were kids and, like, what we were around and, like, some of the shit we were a part of and the people who we grew up with, like, it seems like a whole lot worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's, but it just, I don't know. It never did really seem that bad to me coming up. Like, you know, for all in all, I did, like, you know, enjoy my childhood and shit, you know.
Right.
Went through certain little things and shit like that, but it never did. I don't know, like, you know, if I were to recount certain shit, it would just be like, you know, like, wow, okay. Like, a lot of shit popped off in that neighborhood, but, like, you know, I don't know. I had a lot of fun coming up, to
be
real.
Right. What did your folks do when they were in Kansas City? What was the hustle of the career? Dad was still doing music?
Pops is, like, more so doing, like, construction. Like, he's, you know, that's kind of something he's, you know, he'd been into and been, you know, really good at for a really long time. So he was doing that. You know, my mother was doing, you know, a few different things. You know, she was working for the school district for a while. So, you know, just that's what we were doing. In Kansas City, I guess kind of like where I grew up for the most part in South Kansas City was like, you know, like, especially looking like now at what the rent was, it was just like, God damn, like, that shit's crazy. Like, it was so cheap to just like live in a spot, like, you know, like, it's like anybody could have done that. Like, you know, like three fucking like 12-year-old kids could have done that shit and like made that shit crack. But like,
what's the racial makeup of Kansas City? Is it like a old school kind of segregated city where it's like the wrong side of the tracks, right side of the tracks, or is it just pretty like whatever, diverse?
You know, it's, sometimes it can be kind of like that, I guess, certain places, but it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like black and white in a lot of different areas, kind of depending on where it is. But like,
I mean, it's interesting too about Kansas City is like, people don't think of it as like a fucking rap town, but there's a lot of successful acts out of Kansas City.
Yeah, there are.
Like, fucking, obviously, Strange Music is like, they blew it up out of Kansas City. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and part of that is that, like, you know, people in Kansas City, like, you know, really, you know, they want to fuck with people from Kansas City. You know, like they want to like root for the home team. You know, we live in a really, this is the like this is the segregated city.
This city is very segregated.
LA is segregated as fuck. Like like it's hard to like let alone like even like, you know, other people from LA to actually just like fuck with you because you're from LA. But like even like California, like nobody listens, like people in LA don't really fuck with Bay shit like that. Like if that shit hits the radio and like E-40 brings it back, then everybody's all yay. Like, you know, like if it's like, oh, you know, like Lynch, or, you know, you listen to like Marv, or, you know, whatever the fuck, like, I don't even know who these people are.
I've always felt like since Los Angeles is such a city of dreams, it's like everyone has their own dream and doesn't want to root for anyone else's. Whereas
that's
like,
a lot of it. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of like since the, you know, the history of this fucking city, people have come here to either be a star or find gold.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I'm trying to come up and get my little come up. Like
where it's interesting, where like you look at the, not necessarily smaller cities, but the cities where it's like you wouldn't initially think, rap city, you know what I mean? Like your Seattle's, your Minnesota, or your Minneapolis's, your Kansas City's, it's like when they get a local hero, they fucking really get behind their local hero, because I feel like most of those kids that grow up there, they're not thinking like, oh yeah, this is a city where I could blow up as a rapper. So when there is, it's like everybody gets behind them, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, as far as like the scale of things go, it is, you know, it's going to be a lot tougher, you know, all in all.
Yeah.
But, you know, just as far as like the independent thing goes, and the fact that, you know, that's where, you know, that's where shit is right now.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere is a good place to be, as long as you can get some shit off. And, you know, and as we see now, like, you know, tech is killing it.
Yeah,
like, tech is destroying shit
right now.
You know, and you know, and it's also good because, you know, a lot of that though is like, you know, just based on the fact that like Kansas City really, really, really fucks with tech. Not
yeah, absolutely. And if you can take over your market, then you can take over the nation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like if you can get your city on your back, then you can get the rest of the country on your back. That's what it takes. And that's every big independent act did that, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, and again, you know, and I always, like, you know, loved Kansas City for that and respected Kansas City for that. And there's just still, like, a lot of the people out there, you know, that I haven't even, like, been able to work with like I want to yet. And, like, it's, you know, because I don't get to see them all the time like that. But it's just, like, you know, there are a lot of my favorite fucking people to, you know, to even fuck with like that. And it's just, like, you know, and also it's just, like, you know, everything I do is just kind of like, damn, I want these motherfuckers to hear this shit. Like, you know, like, I think they're going to go crazy over this shit, you know? So, like, even if I don't think about that shit all the time like that, when I, you know, put anything together, like, a lot of the times with certain shit that I do, I think about, you know, Kansas City, like, damn, like, they probably fuck with this. Like,
right. So, what were you like as a student in Kansas City? Did you fuck with school?
You know what? I was always really good with that. I'm a genius. I'm a brilliant.
I know that Jess, you are a very smart dude. Right. And like having had conversations with you over the last 10 years, it's always pretty astounding like how fucking sharp you are with analogies and like how fast you are to make really on point comparisons.
I've even I've tested like the, you know, into that like I'm like,
and so that's what I'm saying. Like I would assume that you were like Magnet or fucking you know, GT or whatever they call it.
Like, yeah, but the problem was though, like that I've learned like growing up is that like I never did understand like what that shit was for, like how it applied to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so like that was kind of like the complication I had with this shit was that like I was really good at this shit. It's nothing to sit and understand any of this shit if I know like what the function of it is. But like if it doesn't have any function, and like, you know, and as I'm getting older and getting closer to like a time where it's like, you're making your decision for yourself, what the fuck you got popping. I'm just like, well, I don't really know, because like nobody's really addressing that shit. Like I'm taking fucking tests and like, you know, I don't know how any of this shit really applies. Like,
so from early on, you probably had like a bit of a complex of like, well, this ain't really helping me, or like I can teach this to myself, or like did you have the I'm smarter than my teacher's phase? Because I had that.
Some of that, but you know what it turned into though? Just like talking too much, and I was really in school for like social reasons. Like when I was in high school, I was in like every fucking club there was. I was like, I was in debate, I was in academic team, I was in DECA, I was in like foreign language club, they had this home ec thing after school where like girls like cooked and cleaned different courses and shit, and they had to have like the whole shit spotless and make the meal perfect. And they had like me and like six other dudes like, because there were like seven groups. They had us actually come in, like, eat the food and make sure, like, shit was, like, perfectly cooked and, like, the whole kitchen was spotless. Or, like, they fucking failed. Like, they just, like, it was like, you're shitty. Like, you're going to have to repeat this next week when everybody's on the next shit.
They're like, not only do you fail the class, but your fake husband of the group is going
to
beat
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's like, we gave him the green light to be, like, a chauvinist sack of shit. Like, this fool's going to shit in your face if you don't do this. Like before, I remember before we got into it, they would tell us, like, make sure, like, you got to be tough on them. Like, don't let them, like...
They'd be like, don't be scared to pull the belt off.
Yeah, almost like, they're like, have you ever seen All in the Family? Like, you... Come on, you gotta, like, yeah. Don't be a hoe about this shit. Like, because I feel like you're gonna be. Like, right. Don't. Like, to try to get some pussy? No. Like, you'll get it more if you're harder on them, because then they'll be like, well, am I...
Yeah.
They'll be on you. So just be... Do what you want to do. It was crazy. So, but because of all that shit, like, it was like, I had like a half day, like, almost every fucking day. Because
you
know
a lot of group stuff.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I was always leaving classes for shit. And to me, it was like.
Did you keep your GPA up, though? Or did you slack off on some?
Yeah,
when I
graduated, my shit was, what was it, like 3.2. So it was always good. It was always pretty good. You know, and I could have always done better than that. I just, like...
You never applied yourself.
I never did, you know? Like, I would just, like, do whatever I had to, like, just kind of be like, oh, you're really good at this.
Well,
like,
which brings me to a question, like, I know that I've suffered from this, and I wonder if you notice it in yourself of, like, almost being too smart for your own good.
I don't really know what that means.
Too smart for your own good, meaning, like, since shit comes so effortlessly... Mm-hmm. It's like getting by with a wink and a smile, you know what I'm saying? Or like getting by without really ever trying as hard as you need to. Because I've suffered from that my whole fucking life. Like I get by without trying, kind of, you know?
I don't know if I would say that I'm suffering from that. Is that the right word?
I guess what I'm saying is like imagine if we fucking applied ourselves fully, you know what I'm saying, to something.
I don't know, then I might get really tired.
Were you athletic?
I did that shit for like the first 2 years, and then like I was like I rather kind of just like get money and chase girls.
Oh, you
like,
ran track?
Nah, I played basketball and you know I did football for a little while too. Yeah. Probably more so because you know most of the homies did that shit, and you know it was fun, you know, but like you know I just wasn't trying to get into that shit like that for real, and it was you know I never you know never really really wanted to do that shit like
right.
that. So
what was like your first fucking interest or passion as a kid?
As far as what?
I don't know. Just like what's some shit you got into? Was like girls your first fucking interest?
Most likely.
Yeah.
And then rapping.
Yeah.
Like I started rapping when I was 7.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
You know what it was? Like I would hear like it all started just hearing songs like on the radio. Like I'd hear the song and like if you know, especially shit I would hear like more than once or twice, like I would just like, I would always keep the hook with some shit and just change the verses to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would make up the verses in my head and shit like that. So that's like how that started, like doing that. Sometimes, you know, like if I was just listening to the song, like, you know, I just like, you know, go crazy with whatever the fuck, you know, whoever it was, or, you know, DJ Quick or MC Hammer or Criss Cross or fucking, you know, NWA or whatever the fuck was on the radio.
Right.
But then like there were times where it's just like, you know, if I was just like listening to the shit by myself where, you know, I could kind of just like, you know, let my mind just go berserk and shit. Like, I would just, like, I would change all the verses.
Yeah.
And just, like, make up my own verses, like, on the spot and shit like that.
That's
nice. I would keep the hooks, but, like, you know, like, the same song, but, like, I'm just, you know, these are my verses, though.
I used to do a more elementary version of that where I would, like, keep the verses and the hooks, but I would just, since Lee rhymes with a lot of shit, I would always just be, I would able to be, like, change my name to whenever they say their name, I would be able to change it to my name.
You know what's funny is I was never good at that. Yeah. Like, I would try to do that, and, like, it wouldn't pop off that way.
Yeah.
And it's not that.
It's funny because I really feel like I was so into memorizing songs, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And just being able to rap along. And I would like really took pride in being able to like hit every pocket that the rapper was hitting. And I really feel like that was like a big part of learning to rap. You know what I'm saying?
It's something.
Yeah, yeah. It is for sure. So like at 7, you're writing your own raps. Were you writing them down or just keeping them in your head?
No, I would just freestyle and just kind of like say shit over and over and over again like that. So like, you know, like.
Did you tell anybody?
I guess like sometimes I kind of would, but it was more so something I would just kind of like do to myself just to, you know, like to,
It's like some young creative weirdo shit.
Just challenging myself and like trying, you know, new shit and different kinds of like beats and shit. And like, can you rap to this? Or like, you know, like sometimes like there might be a song, like I would do that just one time. Like, you know, like I hear something and be like, I just wonder if I could rap to like CNC Music Factory or whatever
Technotronics and shit.
And do that shit. And, you know, so that's like, you know, that's really just how that shit started. It's just like, you know, just taking little shit that I would hear and being like, you know, I think I could put a dope verse to this and like, you know, just freestyling some shit.
If your mom was here and I asked her like, how smart was Kale as a baby, would she be like, oh my God, he was talking at like super early and reading super early and all that shit?
Yeah. She'd have some like crazy stories of my young genius.
Yeah. Tell me some of them. Cause I feel like maybe we have similar ones.
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell this story because I don't remember like how old I was when this shit happened.
Right.
But she was saying that like I said, and I guess because also like my father was kind of like preaching at one point or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And like I said the word glean, like which I guess might have been my first word. And so she was, I think she said she had heard the word before.
But she had to look it up in a dictionary.
To try to figure out like at least where she heard the word and in what context she heard the shit.
Yeah.
And then so she just saw like she had noticed like when I said it, and my little thing when I was a baby, whatever I was going through. And then like, you know, what the word was and how it meant something about like, you know, feeding or something like that. And she was just like, okay. Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, something that might even be, you know, a little more specific to the situation too. I don't totally remember.
Right. Like, were you into like puzzles or erector sets or anything like that? Like,
I don't know. Like, just different shit at different times, to be real. You know, like I would pick up something for a while and kind of just like, you know, it would kind of fascinated me for a minute and then, you know, I move on to some new shit. So, you know, there was always kind of some different shit here or there.
Yeah.
Always girls and always like fucking with my own like music shit. Like trying to do something just like whatever I could with music, like as I was like at the house with the limited little I had sitting around.
I feel like the English language had to like fascinate you though, because both of those things that you're talking about, like your grasp of music, like one of the craziest things that you have is just like your grasp of the English language and your raps. And then also talking to chicks, it's like you really have to fucking be good at talking and have a good vocabulary, I think, to pull these out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I play word games and shit from time to time and stuff like that. And I guess like I was kind of fucking with Reader's Digest at a really young age for some weird ass reason. Like for real, like there was like, I remember like a point in my life where I was just like on that shit. I don't even remember why. Like I was just like,
dude,
like,
Reader's Digest. Every fucking toilet in America used to have a Reader's Digest next to it. Whatever happened to that shit?
I don't know. Yeah. Like people are taking like crazier shits now, I guess.
Now they're on Kindles instead.
Yeah, it's new age of Bowel Movement.
Is Reader's Digest still around?
I think so, but like, yeah, I guess like, I guess you're supposed to fuck with that when you're a little older. Like I was like, I was really young.
Yeah,
that was
heavy reading
when
material.
I was fucking with Reader's Digest.
Cause I was on that Highlights shit.
And I fucked with Highlights too, but I don't like, and there was even like, I would read shit in Reader's Digest and be like, I don't even know what the fuck I just read, but there was just other little things about Reader's Digest that I thought were kind of interesting. And I guess like, you know,
didn't they always have a joke section?
Shit like that.
Yeah.
There were little, puzzles and.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Things of that nature. But I don't know. Like, I guess I get on different shit sometimes and that's kind of my thing. But a lot of like what happens with me and like how shit actually like, I guess, builds from my own mind comes from my own mind. I might be fascinated with something, but it's like the end result of what I got or wherever it was, like whatever journey I was on was just some shit. Like I just totally went to in my fucking head. And I think like that was kind of the thing that most fascinated me was my own imagination, to be honest with you.
Right.
Like that, you know, I see that like with my daughter now. Like she plays with a lot of shit and sometimes like she wants to just like watch some TV or, you know, she wants to, you know, draw, you know, or write words or, you know, count some shit or, you know, whatever the fuck. But then there's just like a lot of the time throughout the day, like I just noticed she doesn't want to do any of that shit. She wants to just kind of be in a room with not really much going on and like just
Yeah, think.
Like, yeah, just let her brain, like, create all this wild ass shit. I don't even know what the hell she's doing, but it's like, right. It's a lot going on.
Right.
You know, and I think about, you know, myself when I was that young and just knowing like how much time, like I would just do that. Like, I don't want to play a video game. Like, I'm not trying to go outside. Yeah. And if I do go outside, like, let me just be by myself so I could just, you know, just sort this shit out. Like, you know, like do whatever the fuck, you know, go through whatever the fuck I'm going through. Like, you know, so I see her doing that shit now and it's just kind of crazy. Like,
right.
How much time
right.
is actually just devoted to like that, you know, just spacing out like that. So, you know, that was a, like probably the biggest part of me being
just
a
having
kid,
a wild
real.
Imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. Were you into pop culture stuff? Like, did you grow up in front of a TV a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your shit?
You know, it was like when I was coming up in South Kansas City, in the neighborhood we grew up in Greenfield, there was like a basement thing in there. And so like, and the bedrooms are at the like top floor. There's basically like three and a half stories.
Right. Right.
So, you know, my moms and pops were upstairs in their room doing their thing or whatever, you know, and they chill up there and shit like that in the nighttime. And so basically a lot of the time it was just like me and my sisters in the basement, like in this big ass basement all by ourselves, you know, snack the fuck out and cable.
Yeah.
And like all the cable channels, like as kids late at night.
Right.
What the fuck's on Cinemax? All that shit. All that shit. So like,
hey,
this is
Cinemax made me a man.
Man, like it brings up questions. Like, yeah. You just start asking questions. Yeah. Like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
oh yeah,
what is this?
Some weird. Oh yeah, I remember having a heated debate. this is a fucking inappropriate shit, but I had a heated debate with my friend Jason, and probably in like third or fourth grade, we saw some movie on like Showtime or Skinemax, and it had Melanie Griffith in it, and she's getting, well, I mean, I don't, she's getting fucked from behind, right?
Of course.
In the movie, and I can't remember what movie it was, but she's definitely getting fucked from behind, and we were having a heated debate as to whether he was doing it in the butt or in the vagina. And as like third or fourth graders, and I'm like, nah, it's got to be in the butt at that. Like, it's got to be in the, and my friend's going, no, it's in her, he's like, no, it's normal. And I'm like, why has she bent over then?
And what was fucked up is that you were both wrong. that's the problem.
But yeah, Skinemax, dude, that shit is inappropriate for kids.
Man, but that was childhood,
but it happened.
Though.
Yeah,
was,
exactly.
You know,
oh, yeah.
That's what happens when kids get to fucking stay up late in the house. And,
yeah, you learn you know, shit. You yeah, learn shit from TV.
You know, that, and yeah, so that shit and just a gang of violent shit. But yeah, like, you know, a lot of shit. I've watched... You know, usually, like, you know, I kind of outlast most people in movie conversations. So,
yeah,
you know, because yeah, I've seen just so
you,
much shit. Since
you got
I was
you
a
got references.
Kid,
but, you got references that go over my head sometimes when we
yeah,
talk.
I watch a lot of shit. Yeah.
You and Madness probably fucking go to town.
Yeah, whenever I'm around Tony, like yeah. It's just kind of it's like it can get too nerdy.
I was
sometimes.
Gonna say it probably gets sickening to like civilians.
I think it gets sickening to us. Yeah. Like because it's like we can do this shit.
Try to one up each other.
It's like I know you're out here to get drunk because I'm out here to get drunk. You came from further, motherfucker, and I know you're hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
so let's stop bullshit and go to this IHOP and pick up this fifth and stop fucking around, fool. Because we're gonna sit here and talk about fucking Asian gorecore all goddamn night, like some nerds.
So like, when you're in Kansas City and you're in all of these fucking clubs, like what would you say? If you had to look back, what was your like role in high school? Like, what was your group that you fit into?
There were people that I grew up with. So, you know, I grew up with, you know, just kind of really just some neighborhood motherfuckers, to be honest, you know, and also kind of, you know, a lot of cats that like, you know, were like athletes and shit like that. So kind of like a split between the two of those.
Yeah.
So as far as like. As I was coming up, it was like everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Was it a small school?
Like not really. Hmm. Not really. It really was. There were, I think maybe a couple or a few thousand kids.
Oh, wow.
At the school.
Yeah.
So, But it was, I mean, you know, like, shit was popping. Like, I fucked with everybody. Like, you know, it was like, you know, as you go through school, like, you realize, like, you know, these crazy goth kids, they watch all the crazy movies and have all the drugs.
Right.
And then, you know, I would kick it with the cheerleader sometimes because right. It was like,
because
it was like, you know, I need a break from whatever, you know, little chick I'm fucking with. So yeah. I kick it with them because they're cute and I don't have to do shit and they'll pay for everything. And like, we'll go watch Bring It On.
Right.
And then. You know, and then like, you know, I'd be, you know, back at the spot and fuck with the homies and get drunk with these fools or shoot dice or whatever the fuck or hoop, you know, and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, you know, for the same token, it was like I told you, like, you know, I was in debate and academic team and DECA. So
yeah,
like,
so you could fuck with the nerds too.
Yeah. You know, and I was, you know, interested in a lot of that shit too, you know, just as far as, you know, these fools not being totally, you know, socially awkward and like really like, I can't fuck with you like that because you make me feel like you don't get any pussy. And I can't, like, we can't all be here to not be getting pussy, because that's actually why I'm here. All this learning is a byproduct, my nigga. Like, this shit is a total byproduct.
Yeah,
like, you see how many bitches are here? Like, I don't get this shit at my school like this. Like, I'm in one class with, like, 15 bitches, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, here I'm in an invitational, and they're from all different types of schools and shit. Like,
right.
I figured it out. Don't... You know, don't fuck up my Shangri-La, nigga. Please.
So then you're 16 and your folks split up. What's that like? Are your sisters older than you?
They're younger than me.
They're younger than you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're the eldest.
Yeah.
And so, like, what's that conversation like? Do mom and dad sit you down, or is it kind of, I don't know?
Yeah, I guess, you know, they each, you know, kind of did that, you know, that thing at one point.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of talked about that, you know, and the shit was, you know, sad off top and everything like that, but then also just kind of
was it expected?
Not really. No, not to me. No,
yeah.
But like when it happened and then just seeing like all the shit that happened with it, just kind of like also seeing, you know, people like in a lot of like terms needing to get right with themselves and shit before like, you know, some shit like that would even kind of work out. So, I mean, you know, like, you know, even now in my life and, you know, just different shit that I deal with, just knowing that and like, you know, really as a man being serious about that shit, like get your shit right and, you know, be solid with that before you think you're going to, you know, like put somebody's, you know, boat in your water, you know, like make sure there's some water in the first fucking place.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like, you know, so that was kind of like a good thing to see about it, you know, but the shit, you know, the shit was like, you know, really fucking sad off top. I just because, like I said, especially because I didn't know this shit was just going to jump off like that, you know. But
how old were your sisters at the time if they're younger? Like
what? I guess, what, like 14 and 13 or some shit?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
was it instantly kind of this, like, oh shit, which parent do I pick?
No, it wasn't really anything like that. It was just kind of like, it was, I mean, like, in a lot of the time, it was just kind of like, fuck, like, I don't know what to think, really. Like, I don't know, you know, what's happening. Like, so, you know, not being, you know, even in you know, in that realm of thought, like, just like, fuck, I don't know.
Right.
Oblivion almost, you know. And then, you know, after that point, just kind of like just figuring out, you know, my thing and what, you know, is just
where you
conducive to that making, you know, to that happening. So, you know that was really my train of thought, especially, you know, at like, you know, 16, you know, about to finish out you know, this whole school thing. So you know, what am I doing? Where the fuck do I go from here, kind of thing,
right?
As far as, you know, that is specifically. So,
mom stayed in Kansas City. Did dad instantly move back to LA?
Yeah.
So you stayed with mom to graduate?
Yeah.
Yeah. And after graduation, like, did you have college plans? Did you go to college?
I went to, I left there, came here, went to LACC for.
So, like, as soon as you graduated, were you like, all right, fucking, I'm out?
Yeah, I was, yeah, I left at the end of the summer.
Yeah, what was the appeal of, like, getting out of Kansas City?
It's just, I mean, you know, I'd always wanted to, you know, to work with music, you know, and just kind of, you know, entertainment in general.
Yeah.
So, I was like, I just was like, this seems like a better place to be to, you know, to make, you know, a lot of that shit happen. And, you know, my father was here, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, at least I have that in, so...
Were you already recording raps in high school?
No.
No.
No, nothing really like that. More so what that was like, I didn't write shit until I was probably maybe 18.
Yeah.
But you... Freestyle, like, the whole time, I go to parties and shit
like that.
That's
what I was going to ask.
Like, battle and, like, and just like show off and shit and like nobody wanted
and that's what I was gonna say is like a lot of I think a lot of people even that know who you are they probably don't realize like what a really fucking world class freestyler you are and so that was already a skill you were honing in high school
way before high school
I said, like seven years old
I've always been doing this
right shit. And so when you're at parties was it one of these things where like you were king of the hill as far
I was
as
way better than anybody doing that shit I don't give a fuck what any of these fools would have to say. Like, they would have to, like, re-jog their memory. They drink too much. Like, I fucked all these fools up.
Did you have homies that that were also into the rap shit like you were?
I guess they kind of were. And then, like, it was kind of weird because I have some that are, and I didn't even know that that was, you know, that that shit was going to happen like that. So, you know, there's that now where it's like I see some of the shit that they're doing, I'm just like, oh, I didn't even know this motherfucker rapped when we were kids, you know, but, you know, he's doing some shit now. So, you know, there's a lot of that. It seems like a lot more of that, like a lot more of the homies that it's just like, I didn't know that you even did this shit.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm in LA and I'm not even, you know, around to, you know, to even hear it, you know, or be around it physically. So I don't even fucking know, you know, so, you know, but as I was coming up, not really.
Right.
You know, not a whole lot. I had, you know, there were a couple of homies that were a little older than us that we went to school with. And they were, they had a crew that was, you know, that was pretty popping in Kansas City, you know, and we fucked with them. But, you know, that was just, I mean, we just, back then they were called Chop It Up Click.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few, they're kind of like doing different shit now. But they were, I mean, you know, like we fuck with them. And like, even now, like, you know, some of I still listen to them and I'm just like, damn, I still like these motherfuckers. Nice. Like, you know, even now in all the fools that I've heard and everywhere that I've been, I'm just like, I'm still like a, you know, a big Rivlok fan. Like Rivlok is like, that motherfucker's crazy. Like, yeah. You know, so
you have the other homies that are rapping, but you're obviously like have a little more passion about it and perhaps a little more penchant towards it. And then you move to LA and like, how does the story of Kale evolve from there as far as like getting involved with the bloat and shit?
When I moved here, I was staying in Leimert.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's how that shit happened.
Oh, so your dad was, like, in
Pops knew that I rapped. I was out here with my sister, and she stayed on Stalker.
Okay.
And so he told me about it. You know, he was down there, like, all the time. Right. And he was like, yeah, Thursday night, you know, they do the rap thing. And he's like, they're out there rapping. And I was just like, oh, shit, okay, so I got to fuck with this.
Yeah.
So I went out there one Thursday night, and it was just like, oh, I'm going to do this shit forever. Yeah. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, this is like.
Leimert Park is such, like, an interesting little cove of Los Angeles. Like, what was it like when you first got there? Because it's, like, really, like, it's a black artist community, essentially. Right.
It was kind of crazy because it was like. It was almost like I was the missing prince because you know they love my pops out there but like that and my uncle Billy Higgins he's like the founder of the World Stage down there you know and they still do a whole lot of shit at the World Stage all the time and so
was your dad involved in the music scene a lot jazz and shit like
yeah they both were. Yeah he's I guess he's like the most recorded jazz drummer there is
who Billy Higgins
yeah
oh dope
so you know getting there and like people meet me and just kind of like you know just based on the kind of like reputation and you know knowing that you know I fuck with music they were just kind of like oh wow
that's your dad oh that's your uncle
so that's kind of like what it was when I got down here
yeah
and then like from a totally different angle, like, not that many people knew that shit at the bloat.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to me because it was just like, I got to do whatever the fuck I'm doing out here.
Right. It was like the adults were looking at, were like, oh, whoa. And the kids were like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, that's all it was. It was like, who the fuck are you?
Was there any sort of like a adjustment phase coming from Kansas City to LA? Was there a culture shock or anything like that? Was it?
It was different. I'm sure there were that. And the fact that like, there's just a lot of different type of people out here that we just didn't fucking have in Kansas City. So,
right.
You know, there were like five or six Hispanic people throughout the entire school when I was going to school.
Right.
You know, probably about the same thing with Asian kids, maybe a couple more, but it's all about the same. So like, you know, we just don't see shit like that.
Right. Right.
So, you know, coming here, you know, and like, you know, when I go to LACC and it's just like, oh, everywhere, like, you know, oh, Armenians and Filipino people and, you know, Indian people and, you know, just all this different shit. And it's just like, oh, so that's, you know, it's just kind of a learning thing, though, because I never you know, it could be a culture shock, kind of like if you're not trying to be on the wave like that.
Did you go crazy the first time you seen an Armenian girl? Because I know I did.
No, I did. I
shout didn't. Out to Armenian girls.
It was kind of like, what the fuck are they?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, but, you know.
Without, so down. I'm so down. Yeah, you're in Leimert, and then you go to the Bloat, and is it like a fucking church going experience the first time you're there, or what?
Yeah, like,
what,
it was. Yeah. It was dope. Like, I spit some shit when I was first there, because I was like, I have to, but I just had never seen some shit like that before.
Yeah, so who was there? Do you remember?
I would probably say most everybody from customer service was there. I'm sure I saw Wise. I'm sure AC, Chew, Rifleman and Terror. It were a lot of people out that night.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, you know, like, this was kind of like within the last few years that the shit was like
really
crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, it was like – like everybody.
Yeah, because you're kind of a part of like what I would call the last generation of Bloatians, almost. No?
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I don't know if there really was a,
or maybe
a real generation.
Maybe the second
us.
To last. I don't know. Like, I look
not
at
out of the Bloat. I don't know if there was really a generation after us as far as,
you know what I'm
the
saying?
Bloat was concerned.
Right. I almost feel like Dumb.
Because I know, because like Dumb is younger than
that's
us.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but he's from our generation.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, he was just in the scene really young.
That's what I was going to say. It's almost like a half step generation where it's,
right.
A, you know what I'm saying?
Like, he was just really
like
young, but
Dumb
he was out
Lyra,
there with us though.
And Lyra and Sat, like, they're almost like just a half step.
Yeah, because that was the thing. They were just really young when they were out there.
Right.
With us. Like, you know, like Sat was young as fuck the first time I met him. Like,
really?
You know, like, yeah, he was just a young dude, and he didn't even know shit about the Bloat, and he just hit me up, and he was just like, he hit me up on some like on some crazy shit that had just happened to him, and like he had heard of me, and he just like reached out to me online and shit like that, and you know, like he was like going through some shit at his school,
yeah,
and he was just like, he's like me and the homie are just trying to come out there, and if you could just like, you know, introduce me to people and show me around and da 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 da, and I was like, oh hell yeah, like, you know, just come through. So, you know, we did that whole thing, but they, like, you know, so it was just like, you know, some of these motherfuckers, like, you know, started off like, you know, almost at the same time, if not just a little bit later, but they were just like a lot younger.
Yeah,
than us.
Yeah. Was going to the Bloat at that time. Like, I almost feel like in my head it seems like some, like an analogy of like prison almost, where it's like, oh, did you have to like go there and fucking battle the toughest guy you saw at first so that people didn't think you were a bitch or what?
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. What were the sites? Like, I don't know.
It was like, because I tell people a lot of the time, because, you know, they know that, you know, the Project Bloat open mic workshop, yada, yada, yada. But like, fuck that. You might not even see that though.
The craziest shit is what happens.
Like, you
outside.
Try to, yeah, like a lot of the times, like I've seen motherfuckers sign up on the list to go on stage and shit like that inside and never even make it inside.
Right.
Cause like they go back outside and it's just like, you end up like battling motherfuckers like for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the list is closed. It's like, you know, like you're not going to get on stage, but it's like, fuck it. I'm out here in this shit anyway.
Right.
You know, like, so it's like, I've seen that shit happen a lot of the time. Like, I've seen people not even be able to make it to the sign up list.
Right.
Like, his shit just pops off like before you could even get to that point. So
do you remember the first person that you battled at the Bloat?
No, I don't.
What was your most epic battle at the Bloat? How about that? Or maybe your rival?
To be for real, like, there never was really, like, a whole lot of situations like that, because motherfuckers just like to watch us, to be real.
Yeah.
But, to be honest, the only real, like, rivalry as far as battling went with somebody from the Bloat was with James.
With No Can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
Like, me and, like, and a lot of the time it was because, like, me and him would be in battles and end up just, like, the last two motherfuckers in the tournament and shit.
Right.
So there was a lot of that, and, you know, just, you know, we would do this shit sometimes just for fun, you know, on some service shit, like, you know, you gotta battle the homies and shit like that.
Right.
But like, you know, just in competitions around the city, you know, different places, you know, in the country and in the state, like, it'd just be me and him at the end of some shit, and it's like, I had to battle this fool a handful of times and shit.
And
so,
I feel like a lot of people don't realize that, like, you were part of that wave of, like, the first really kind of popularized form of modern battling, where it's like you predated Nine Mile, obviously, and like what the battle scene has transformed into with like the acapella shit was different, because back then it was freestyling over beats, and it was like if you got called out for writtens, like that was some bullshit. Right. Like nobody was really trying to get caught using writtens. Right. Exactly, it was really freestyle, and you know, you were like in Scribble Jam 03. You guys used to travel for battles. Like, that's how I met you, essentially. The way that I met you and James was because you guys were creating a network of places to stay up and down the coast while you battled.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the places when you started traveling to go battle.
Well, I mean, you know, like, a lot of the time it was, you know, a lot of the really, like, good shit was happening in California, to be real.
Yeah, the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, I mean, but, like, up and down California, because there was, some, you know, there were different things that we fucked with in Central California, you know, you know, in Visalia and, you know, other
Battle of
other
the Barb.
Places. Yeah, yeah.
I remember
a
battle you were like, Elliot was hosting a battle that on some like soccer field or some shit that I saw you battle Servant, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. So, yeah, that there were, I mean, you know, there'd be other shit happening in Santa Barbara, like just different shit. Like, you know, shit would pop in Santa Barbara, but just all up and down, like, you know, everywhere. I remember going to. You know, we did the shit in San Diego when they used to have Sunday service. We did the shit in Daly City.
Yeah.
I didn't even battle up there, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think
Daly City shit, where there was some epic shit up there with, like, Franco and XI and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those were really styling back then.
Shit. Yeah, they were.
And the crazy the thing is now battling is such this, like, internet subculture. Like, it's like barely even a subculture. It's just a culture now. Yeah. But back then, it was like, we were really up on like mcbattles.com trying to find like bootleg video footage of random battles. You know what I mean? And it would take like one might pop up every 3 or 4 months.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like 4 or 5 a day like it is now.
It was like, motherfuckers don't realize that. It was way thirstier back then as far as that was concerned.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we didn't get that shit.
Yeah.
Like that.
And not even.
It was a lot more talking shit than anything. Right. It was like, we just got to talk shit back and forth about what the fuck just happened.
Right. But that's the crazy shit is like that whole scene of like the Young Blodians was really all. Paved the way for what is like modern battle rap now, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There would have been no interest had fools like, you know, like fools like Mad Ills and D-Rect, they were like into battling like Scribble Jam shit and like you guys were there and that's like what fucking caused them to think of doing acapella battles.
Exactly.
Eventually.
Yeah. You know, with a whole lot of their shit, you know, especially when you go to a lot of this shit like that behind the scenes. Is a lot of like acapella battle type shit because it's like you don't necessarily get the luxury of a beat because the DJ is like, fuck you niggas, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so you're kind of just out there and you try to get somebody to beatbox, but motherfuckers are drunk. So that shit is horrible.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, sometimes that shit happens and it's like, I've seen a lot of the times where it's just like you end up in a battle like that where it's just like, you know, you just spit some shit, just, you know, going at a motherfucker, no beat, no nothing, just, you know, just cutting. So, and I know, you know, a lot of these kids were around for a whole lot of their shit when they saw a whole lot of people that I know that, you know, they, you know, regard and, you know, idolize even now. So it's like, you know, a lot of shit was at the start of all this shit, you know.
Right. How was the reaction when you guys first went out to Scribble Jam? Because I think you, James, and Awkwards were like the first Cali kids to go to Scribble Jam, weren't you?
Well, maybe so. I think there might have been somebody before us that might have come out. But like, I don't know if there was really a time where like, you know, there was kind of like, you know, that wave. Like,
I remember
it was kind of a wave because it was kind of like it was like we're out here, but there's other motherfuckers that could be out here too.
Right.
Like, y'all don't know about that.
And like some of
all,
the OGs were out there like talking like, oh, I'm going to put money on these young Cali fools. Like these guys are doing it.
Right.
Like, was Merce or somebody was like, yeah, I'm putting my money on Kale this year or something.
Yeah. That happened back then.
Yeah.
But once you get there and kind of like realize like what it is and like the kind of the little sport of like that kind of battling, it was just like, oh, like it's all kind of the same little type thing that everybody, you know, and then you realize that even though, you know, I kind of had a little technical difficulty when I was doing my thing when I got on stage up there, but I mean, you know, it was just, but it was also good because even outside of that, like off stage and dealing with everybody, you know, up front and, you know, in the cyphers and just, you know, as we were out there the whole weekend, like everybody was just kind of like, who the fuck are these motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Like,
That's it's funny because you guys, I think all three of you guys lost in the first round that year or something, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And the funny thing is when I go back and watch those videos, I almost feel like, oh, like people weren't ready for that yet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there was a lot of that too. But it, like I said, it was kind of like this easily digestible thing that they were doing. And
yeah,
shit like
and
that.
You guys were really doing something more, a little more technical at the time.
Right, right.
Like.
You know, but that's, I mean, you know, and no offense, but that's, you know, that's what happens a lot of the times when you, you know, when you let white kids run some shit like that.
Very true.
So
you don't have to say no offense to me.
It just, yeah, but it just gets, you know, some shit gets tossed
pale,
in a fucking
but
box
I'm,
like that. But
my eyes might be green, but I'm brown on the inside. No, I'm just
kidding. What?
So yeah, things start going good for you in the battling, and you're traveling with that shit, and then you start making your own beats. Were you already making your own beats?
I was already doing that. Yeah. When I got here, I mean, you know, I did the electronic music program or whatever the fuck was left of it at LACC, but that was kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But like, really, like what really got me into the beats, I had to do the shit on my own because it was kind of like, you know, I'm trying to get beats from motherfuckers and I get them every here, you know, here and there and shit like that. But, you know, it's hard to get shit that I really like and, you know, it takes forever. And, you know, so I was just like tired of dealing with that bullshit. I was like, these motherfuckers aren't any smarter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'll learn how to do this shit, you know, and make shit that I like to fuck with. Mm-hmm. So I started off like really, really getting heavy with the shit on my own with Runway Star, Star mm-hmm. West, who did the Teach Me How to Dougie beat.
Oh, okay.
So like me and her just kind of like doing like 9 hours a day, like just of like everything, like, you know, cutting sounds, fucking with samples, like, you know, running,
yeah,
you know, just running shit, like just fucking with shit all day. Like, and then like I moved from where I was and they moved from where they were staying, but then where they moved was like two doors down from where we were.
Uh-huh.
So it was just like more shit. We had the studio in the basement of the spot, you know, the grime lab, and she would come over there like, and just like sometimes she would just fucking be there, like I wouldn't even be at the house, like she would just like, she'd like cranked out some shit already,
right?
So you know, that's kind of like when I started off with beats, like, you know, me and her were like just like working, like that's all it was.
You still making a lot of beats or what?
I do shit and there's gonna be a whole lot more that I do now just because you know, I'm starting to realize like how much, you know, how much of this shit just sounds so much better to me and feels better to me when I'm fucking with my own production.
And I feel like you're more comfortable over your own production. When I listen to your music,
like
I think when you produce your own beats is when you sound most comfortable.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel
I mean?
Like that too. You know, and you know, and I'm having a lot, you know, I have a lot of fun fucking with a lot of the different shit that I, you know, I've been hearing and been picking up because,
yeah,
you know, I could write anything. But yeah, as far as like my shit goes, like I'm really, you know, starting to understand that like the shit that I'm, you know, that I've been doing and I've been working on, yeah, as far as production goes, like I just like, I'm like, damn, the song is better to me now.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
you know,
I'm sure you've, I know I hate when people say shit like this to me, and I'm sure you will hate this too, but like my favorite project of yours is still fucking The Invitational, dog. Like I could still listen to that, like, you know, every couple of months. And that was just you over your own beats. Like you could just tell you locked yourself in a fucking room.
Right.
Pumped it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, that was more grime lab shit. For what that was, and like, you know, especially like the feeling behind that shit,
yeah,
I don't dismiss the Invitational like I do everything else, really.
Yeah,
like everything else can, you know, I'm just whatever, fuck that shit.
Right.
But as far as like technically and how I look at it, you know, and stylistically and just what I hear, like it still just makes me cringe. But like for what it is, and like I said, like the feel behind the shit and just how,
yeah,
you know, and what was, and you know, kind of the creative direction with it, it was dope. Like
yeah,
it was fun. Like
it,
you can,
yeah,
tell, like
it's so crazy.
You know, shit was popping.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, I'm sure in hindsight, yeah, definitely there's like some technical flaws with it or whatever, like sound quality, whatever.
And just like a lot of shit that I was doing just stylistically, you know,
yeah,
I just, you know, I'm just like, ah,
but that's what I like about it is like, it was so stylistically all over the fucking place. And, like, and it had so many, all the songs were so colorful, you know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
It was a lot of
alcohol on wax, baby.
Yeah, can that could still be found online?
Drugs on wax. I think so. I think Verbs has the Invitational upload it somewhere. Either Verbs does or it might be on bear.com.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening, you should Google search the William Red Thedford.
It's just the William Thedford Invitational.
It's fucking really dope. It stands the test of time, I think.
We have fun with that
shit.
Glitterati, bitch.
Yeah, glitterati. Oh, man. Yeah, when I met you guys, that was the catchphrase. Glitterati was like something, was a thing, and halamaki. I said halamaki in a song, and people always ask me, what the fuck does it mean? And I'm like, it's just some shit that my friends made up that I thought was tight.
Right.
And so, you guys had a whole thing going on with customer service. What point did you guys decide to click up?
It was pretty soon, like pretty quick after, like, I, like, started fucking with the bloat. So it might have been, like, 2001, 2002, sometime like that. And, you know, Nocan just kind of ran up on us, and he was just we're young and we're crazy and we're good at this shit. So, I was thinking about, doing this crew thing. Like, I want to say, like, he ran up on me and talked to me about that shit at Santa Monica College. Cause I had a little bitch at Santa Monica College at the time, and I was over there, and he was, he was around there. He drove past the school and he saw me, and he said something to me out there. And I was just like, oh shit. Okay. Word. Like, I knew who he was, and I knew he ran with Marcel and Rob. And, I was like, I know who they were. And I fucked with all these fools. I was just like, oh yeah, these niggas are dope. Like, so I was just kind of like, okay. Yeah. Word. Like,
yeah.
You guys are like young and like on some crazy shit. And you got bars. Like, I watch you guys every time I'm out there. Like, okay. Like, makes sense. I'm with it. So that's really how that shit happened. Just like, hey, want to be in a crew? Yeah. All right. You're in a gang now.
Right. No, it's funny when you say like you're young and on some crazy shit. Cause man, like, I hate to get all nostalgic, but goddamn, shit was fun back then. Like, man,
it really was though.
Dude, we used to have so much fucking fun. And now that we're all like,
yeah, you see, I'm like, now, like, I just like kind of like some memories like jolted in my head. I'm like, you remember the Grime Lab?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been over there.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
I know you do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
I know you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I know you do.
you guys can take from that what you will. Yeah. I don't know. We just had a lot of fucking fun back then. Like, it was like traveling. We were
traveling too.
We would just be doing traveling and fucking for rap events.
Yeah.
And now we're all adults, and we don't see each other as much, and it's not as fun anymore because we're all trying to like really fucking make some money off of it at this point, I feel like. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to do both though, man. I really wish that's really my dream. Like, I don't get to talk to like everybody about the shit all the time like that, but like I think about that shit like all the time. It's just like, us just like being able to just like travel like that and just fucking make music. And it's like, if so and so is recording this type of shit over here with their thing and we're doing our shit here with our thing, and like none of that shit even fucking matters because it didn't back in the day when that's the way this shit worked. Yeah. It was just like, what's popping?
Yeah.
Where's it popping? Let's pick up, go do that shit and have a good time. Cause a lot of the shit kind of like, wasn't necessarily something that was like totally formatted even.
Right.
It was just like there's an opportunity to do something, or motherfuckers are going to be partying out here, we might be able to, and that was that was enough. Like, even if it didn't happen, it was just like, we're still out here, like people still know, like, we're kind of the coolest fucking kids in the building.
And that's the thing,
we're gonna get it in,
and we were like so young and new to it that was like, oh, playing a fucking show for 10 people felt like, oh man, this is tight, 10 people's dope. And now it's like heroin or any other fucking drug, the longer you do it, the more you need. And so now it's like like, it's not fun unless there's 200 people there or something for me.
It's like, motherfuckers here at all.
Yeah. What are you working on now?
I put out this smash out shit just to kind of like, I was testing some different things with it as I put it out. So it was kind of an independent research thing that I was doing. But I mean, people love the shit and they're fucking with it. And, people are starting to understand what it is instead of just turning up to the shit. But I'm working on some shit right now, a project called A Silhouette Noir. It's some espionage type shit. It's dope. It's going to be the most mysterious project I put out.
Like, darker or what?
A little bit, but also it's kind of just got the noir thing too, so it's still kind of fancy, I'm a bougie motherfucker.
Yeah. That's kind of always been your thing. Like, I've always got it. Like, I've always thought that, like, you've developed this character. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember, like, I used to tell people my elevator pitch to them about you was, like, he has a song called white linen and Pinot Grigio, or Pinot Grigio and white linen.
White linen and Pinot Grigio.
Yeah. And it was like, at that time, we were like 21 or 22. Right, I didn't even know what that shit was. I don't know what that is, but it sounds mad fancy. And that was the thing. It was always kind of like you had created this larger than life, fucking James Bond suave character, right. rap
but,
character.
Yeah. But see, like, the thing was, though, like in a lot of senses, like, you know, and especially kind of like, I guess, like, if you're not right up underneath it, you might not be able to see it that way. But, you know, it is kind of a character thing that, like, is exuded. But, like, I'm on that shit for real, though. Like, yeah. Like, white linen and Pinot Grigio came from situations involving white linen and Pinot Grigio, right. to be honest.
But I don't think that you're as much of a snob as you make yourself out to be.
Not a lot of the time. But, like, you know what I'm saying? I do that shit, like, I do have a lot of fun, like, fucking around with that shit on record. And, like, you know, it's all true accounts. So, you know, but it's like, but yeah, it's really like, I really fucking splash that shit out in your face.
Yeah.
Your online
presence, I'm going to keep it 100. Your online presence is like very boisterous, borderline obnoxious on some like, I am the fucking best at this, which, to be honest, you're pretty goddamn good. Like, Kale is a scary good rapper. For those of you out here listening to the podcast that have not heard him, you're a scary good rapper.
It's like
you're really fucking good at it. But do you ever feel like I don't think you're that fucking braggadocious or boisterous on a one-to-one level. Do you ever feel like the character turns some people off, or are you ever scared of that?
No. You know why? Because it comes from a different place, and I think most people who have done it before do it. And I don't want people to misinterpret that shit at all, because that's, you know, that's kind of their fault for doing it, because I say this shit all the time. But, you know, this is a better forum for people who are at least listening to this fucking podcast to understand that when I say that shit and when I do that shit, I really, really mean that, like, all the fucking way. And I mean it from a place that, like, I think that wherever you come from and whatever you do is totally, like, different than me. Like, I can never, like, this is me, like, this is me saying some shit that I say about myself, about you.
Yeah.
I could never do the, like, the intuition, the Lee Shaner shit that you do. I could never match that shit. I could never, like, never do that. So, like, as far as that's concerned on that scale, you are the god of that.
Absolutely, as you are the god of Kale.
You shouldn't even have fucking flinched when I said that shit now.
Right.
That's it. Like,
no,
you're
contemplating. Yeah.
Like, the realism of that is that, like, that whatever you're doing in your lane, like, you are the supreme overlord of that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I need people to, like, I just want people to look at their shit that way. Like, you know, whatever the fuck it is that you're doing, it's like, if you're in any kind of position where you're like, I'm doing something that I want to be doing right now.
Right.
Like, nobody can fuck with that. Nobody can compare to that shit.
Right.
You're
better at doing yourself than anybody else.
Than anybody can ever, like, you know, anybody who can reduplicate the shit and try to put the steps back together and make the shit perfect, like, they're still not walking the way that you did, the way that you did it.
Yeah.
Like, that shit doesn't equate. So it's like, when I say this shit, like, you know, I'm just trying to get people to jump on board with it. Like, with whatever you do, like, it makes my job a lot easier and a lot better if you look at your shit that way.
Right.
Where it's like, if I'm like, yo, do you got beats? And you're like, motherfucker, I got beats. Like, you know, and not just like, well, you know, I might have a little, because then it's like, well, then I'll talk to you sometime. We'll get up. Right. But, you know, like, or, you know, if you're like, you know, I'm trying to do the podcast. I'm like, oh, what's up with the podcast? Like, you know, when can you be here this coming week? Then it's like, oh shit, like, you're, oh, okay, well, now I gotta give you a direct answer, because this shit is popping. This is the situation,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is what exists, and like, ride or die with this shit, like, for real. Like, you know, it's what's happening or nothing,
right?
You know, so that's, you know, that's the thing about it, is like, you know, I like, as far as I'm concerned, like, I'll never, like, say anything that'll, like, be contrary to the shit that I put online or that I say on records or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I feel 100% about that shit. I'm the greatest at this shit in the world. Like, I'm doing it, and I haven't seen anything better than me.
Right.
And on top of that, like, motherfuckers need to get on that shit on their own accord, because I think that about them.
Right.
You know, it's just like it's like, I might not be in a position to say, like, you need to be doing more or doing better, da 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 da, but it's just like, you could be doing you.
Right.
And you could be doing a lot more you.
I like that.
You know,
I think that's like a great, fair explanation. I've never thought of it that way.
You know, and it's like, yeah, so it's like, as far as you doing more of you, like, you're going to be fucking incredible at that. Like, I won't be able to say shit about it. Like, there's people who live all kind of wild ass lives to get all type of negative judgment about the shit. And I'm just like in their shoes and their position and for what they're doing, like, they're killing it. Like, you couldn't do that shit. you couldn't fucking do it. Like, you just couldn't do it. So,
right.
You know, like, that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like, in your lane, you know, where you're supposed to be, are you taking off as high as you're supposed to be taking off? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are and, like, you're just pushing that shit like that, I'm going to see that shit and just be like, damn, like, I have a godly feeling for you right now. Like,
right.
Like, you know, like, it's also, you know, like, you know, you get that feeling when you watch somebody who really, like, murders some shit in their lane. You're just like, wow, like, that shit made me want to write something, or, you know, like, that shit made me want to do some push-ups or some, you know, some
right.
shit, like,
right.
you know, so, you know, that's because these motherfuckers have decided to just, like, I'm going to be, untouched, like, godly, you know, and just believe in my lane. Like,
yeah, and honestly, it's interesting that you put it that way, because, like, in hindsight, looking at things, like, in our past experiences, having known each other for so many years, like, it's always, like, polite at shows or something to, like, say, good job, you did a great job, after, or, like, you know, oh, you killed it up there, or whatever, right, to, like, every rapper, just to, like, you know, make face or whatever. But I can say, out of all the people that I've come up with, like, you are very genuine whenever, like, we've performed together or whatever, like, you'll really come up and give a real fucking compliment, like, yo, man, you're really up there rapping this shit. That was dope. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
People are,
yeah, or yeah, or tell, people, tell you about are, what you're doing. Yeah, like, I'm like, yo, you did that thing during that song, and like, that shit was like,
yeah,
that shit was nuts to me. Like, I'll never forget that. You know, so
and which is awesome, because, like, yeah, like I said, you are, as a rapper, I fully admit, like, that you're intimidating as a rapper. Like, the way you scheme out and shit, it's crazy. So, like, that always was, like, really dope. And that, I feel like that was a great explanation of your of the. What could be perceived as cockiness, but really it's like almost a spirituality.
Right. Right. Cause I mean, you know, a lot of the times it's like, if I watch some shit and it's like, you know, it was whatever to me, I don't say anything to the motherfuckers that come off stage. Like, I don't say anything,
right.
But it's like, if I watch something and it was just like, wow, like, that made me, like, want to do something with myself. You know, that made me want to activate my lane.
Yeah.
Then it's like, that's real shit. Like, that's like, you know, that's like godly power.
Yeah.
Like, to make another motherfucker, like, I want to go do something. Like, that's a lot. Like, that's almost like telekinesis. So, you know, it's like, you know, so, like, to have a motherfucker feel you on that level, it's just like, I, like, you know, I'm real about that shit. Like, yo, like, I didn't even have to pay attention to this shit right now at all. But, like, you know, you are destroying this shit in your lane. Like, you're doing you.
Yeah,
like 110%. I fuck with that. Like,
absolutely. Know. And thank you for, over the years, you've always made me want to get up and do shit, because you're dope. So thank you for fucking coming in. And before we leave, tell the people where they can find you online.
You can find me online. Mostly you can look up shit through, like, at the only Kale. You can, you know, follow that shit on Twitter.
At the only Kale.
Yeah. You know,
Kale is K A I L.
K A I L.
Yeah.
All caps. Please don't fuck up my name. I hate that.
It's not the superfood.
You can also, you know, like, on, I think, like, on, what is it, like, Facebook and Instagram, you can look me up at William Rhett Thetford IV. That's IV. In case you motherfuckers aren't privy on Roman numerals.
William Red, and then Thetford is like phonetic, THEDFORD, the fourth IV word.
Kapow.
Man, you know, we fucking ran over time, and I feel like we didn't even cover half the shit that we could.
We didn't cover shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the history that...
Nothing.
Having known each other for fucking 10 years, there's so much more that I still want to learn. Maybe we'll do another one of these someday. Because I really, like, as a rap fan, I find the whole culture of the Blowed so fucking interesting, and what you guys were going through. And I didn't even ask you about, like,
wild shit,
some of the rare, like, you know, rare influences and shit that you got from there. But so maybe we'll do another one. You're going to do a song tonight for us.
Yes, sir.
What's the song called?
It's called We On, I guess, which is just kind of a title that we just kind of threw out there, but
and it's going to be on the Tookie versus Dorner.
You know, I'm not exactly sure that we were even doing that, because I know we did some shit for this Euro tape that was getting out to Germany and shit like that, and some of the, you know, some of those other those crazy motherfuckers out there. So one way or another, either, I mean, you know, we'll all get to hear it sometime soon, but, you know, Germany might get to hear it first, because
America's going to hear it first.
Germany
now
fucks with a nigga.
We're about to.
You know that.
Yeah, the Big Data album, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we'll maybe do another one of these sometime. But thank you for coming in again.
Yes,
it was dope conversation. My name is Lee.
My pleasure.
Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards making the shit sound buttery, Ben Shim, at I Am Database, base with two S's. Fuck with us on Facebook, facebook.com/It's Intuition and facebook.com/KindaNeat. Just made that page. Please like it. Subscribe to us on iTunes. because that always helps. Or subscribe to us on Stitcher if you're not fucking with iTunes. You can find the Kale performance of We On at youtube.com/thatskindaneat. And you can find everything wrapped up in a pretty package at kindaneat.net. Thank you guys if you're still fucking listening after that, all that boring social media shit at that point. But yeah, my name's Lee and this was Kale, and that was kinda neat.
There it is.